we do hope you enjoyed it. This is the Phil Henry Show, the world famous Phil Henry Show. I'm Margaret Gray, and this is Tupac Shakur. Here we go, turn it up, let's start. From block to
block, tell you something. We'll get into that, General. Hold on. We'll get into it when.
World famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California.
All right, now, what do you...
I'm telling you right now, I'm hopping mad. And what do you mean Hannity is some kind of an imbecile? A rich imbecile? What does that mean?
Yeah, what do you mean by that, Pacific?
Look, man, that was something I was talking about before the show.
Yes, but Phil, you're polarizing people. Now you made a statement, say it.
I just saw where Sean Hannity said that we ought to bomb the living crap out of Iran if they didn't turn the sailors back.
Yeah, and what's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, go ahead, tell me, what's wrong with that?
World War III. You got a problem with World War III.
What are you talking about, World War III? They forced our sailors. Boy, I'll tell you something. Ladies and gentlemen, you let me have my head on this one.
Boy, Miss Henry, you better let them talk.
All right, go ahead, talk.
They made our sailors kneel and apologize. There's nothing that drives me ape. I used to see that in Nam. They take a lot of these flyers, you know, make them apologize, all this nonsense, and then they had that Fonda went over there. Oh, man.
Now, General, Jane Fonda, that was a long time ago, and it was a completely different war and a completely different polemics, different...
Give me that bullshit. I'm telling you, it is not bull, as you call it, S-H-I-T.
Yeah, well, I think it is, because you've got these turbine winder, and they're... Now, look, I'm not a racist. I believe in every man can relieve himself as he wants to.
Maybe relieve himself.
You sure you want to say that?
Every man can worship. Well, every man can relieve himself.
Well, technically, he is right. Every man can relieve himself.
What about women?
You know what I'm going
to... Hey, come on.
Now!
Fucking asshole.
Now, hold on for a minute. This is deadly serious. You call Sean Hannity an imbecile. Why? Because he wants to bomb Iran.
Because he wants to bomb Iran over an issue where our sailors made a mistake. This is the only thing I want to say. All right?
Wait, I've got a lot to say about this.
All right, fine. But I just want to say, let me ask you this. When you put your hand in the water to pet a shark, what do you think's going to happen?
What do you mean, what's going to happen?
What happens when you try to pet a shark?
It wags its tail.
What are you talking about, Nick? What do you mean, wags its tail? It's going to bite your hand off.
Oh, so you're saying that Iran...
No, don't give me that load of horse dung.
I'm telling you that when you're screwing around out there and you drift into those territorial waters of Iran, what the hell do you think they're going to do? Like I said on Twitter today, man, you want a 21-gun salute? What do you think they're going to do?
Well, we know what they're going to do.
Then what the hell are we doing screwing around?
Nobody was screwing around. They had engine trouble on those craft.
All right, and they ought to take that into consideration. Isn't there some kind of a plan of action if there's engine trouble on those boats? If there's some kind of a problem where these guys find themselves in harm's way, if they're out there in the middle of the Gulf of or the Straits of Hormuz and they have the Iranian Navy bearing down on them, what's the plan of action here, man? You just drift into territorial waters, get your ass taken prisoner?
I'm telling you, they made those boys kneel down.
There's no question. But what do you think Iranians are going to do? That's what those guys do, man. They always do that shit. That's what they're about. Every time they grab a hold of an American, it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And what do? We're dumb enough to fall into their trap.
Now you're calling those boys dumb.
I'm not going to call them dumb, but I'm going to tell you, somebody screwed up, okay? Don't tell me that there wasn't a screw-up somewhere along the line. Now, if these guys had legitimate engine problems, they drifted into the territorial waters, and the Iranians were supposed to do something else under international law, I don't know what the hell they're supposed to do. I do know one thing. It is against international law to videotape or to film, for propaganda purposes, prisoners of war.
Well, they were not prisoners of war, technically, Phil. They were guests of the Islamic State.
What are you talking about, guests of the Islamic State? They were being held prisoner.
Is that called the Islamic State? What the hell is that?
Talk about Islamic State.
Islamic State.
Yeah, they was being held prisoner and everything.
They were They were not prisoners of war. They were simply men that had made a mistake.
All right, hold on. I'm just telling you, General, you know, you can't have this this attitude.
Look, I don't care, you know, you want to play it cute and sweet. And you want to curtsy and bow, and you want to do... That's the problem with you, Phil. You want to do a cute little curtsy and go, may I have this dance? Wee! You know, and then go get a cup of lemonade or whatever. That's not me. That's not General Galen Shaw. You don't get me a cup of lemonade. I want to get out on the dance floor, and I want you to dance with me.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, okay, so that makes me gay, huh?
Well, what does that mean?
I'm using...
You ever try to use that as some kind of a metaphor?
Yeah, what are you saying?
I'm saying you're the guy that bows at the waist, takes my gloved hand... Forget it.
All right, so welcome to the show, folks.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about, man. I know what you're talking about. I understand. I don't like to see our sailors or our soldiers, anybody humiliated. I think it's bullshit. But we walked into it, man. You know, that's all I'm saying.
Don't give me that, Phil. You know that we're down there and we're keeping a close eye on those ragheads. And don't give me that politically. Political correctness is out. It's way out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's another thing I wanted to ask you about, political correctness, when we get a chance. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
What do you mean you want to ask him about political correctness?
Well, I mean, everybody's saying that political correctness is out. You don't have to be, you know, politically correct anymore. So does that mean I get to call, you know, like Robert the N-word?
Of course you don't.
Oh, really? I thought political correctness was out.
Yeah, what's it mean when political correctness is out?
I'm talking about somebody's jive turkeys and these jive monkeys that are running around trying to make a monkey out of me. These jokers are down there.
Shit.
That sucker was down, and those guys are waiting. They're waiting to lunge at the first available opportunity.
You know, I think you're losing your head on this thing, man. All I'm saying,
Phil, I'm not.
Hold on. All I'm saying is, you cannot be down there in near Iranian territorial waters, figuring that anything else is going to happen than that. If you find yourself there, if you're captured by the Iranians for whatever reason, you can't sit there and think that you're all of a sudden surprised that they're acting like assholes. They are assholes, they were born assholes, and they're always going to be assholes. And that's what they do. And for us to sit here like that freaking Hannity, you know, I know Sean from way back, man. He's a very dedicated broadcaster, he's a nice guy. But when this guy and these talk show hosts, when they open their yaps like they're somehow experts on how the whole thing falls together, yeah.
But what about you? You've got opinions.
You don't see people quoting my ass in the Wall Street Journal, do you? I mean, this guy is talking about how... besides, I'm not a political commentator. But this guy coming out and saying that we ought to bomb the hell out of her... Okay, so let's see. The American sailors fuck up. Excuse my language.
My God, Phil.
That's what they did. They fucked up. They went into the Iranian water. And...
What do you mean they went into the Iranian? It sounds like they're taking a swim.
Their boat drifted in there. Now they get taken by the Iranians, which is perfectly legitimate because they're wondering, what are these Americans doing screwing around down here? We don't like them. They don't like us. What the hell are they doing? What do you guys want? Well, you know, oh, really? Well, let's talk about this. So now they get taken into custody or whatever the fuck. They weren't even held for a day, it didn't seem to me. And Kerry went down there and chilled the whole thing out. Now all these guys with the big fat yaps. Oh, forget it.
Yeah, don't you mean, Mr. Silver?
Look, pal, you know, you're all bugged out about the fact that the country is starting to harden up a little bit.
Oh, the country's been hard since 1776. Don't give me this bullshit. America is here 200 years later because we're hard-ass. Don't give me this stuff about how we're soft, okay? What we're trying to do is figure out how to live in a world where there are a lot of other things that are going on. We got a part of our populace. Never mind.
Yeah, why don't you move on with it, Phil, because it's starting to get a little strident.
Yeah, you are beginning to get a little preachy.
Yeah, of course. I don't want to get preachy. Maybe I ought to take a little lesson from Sean Hannity and talk about how we ought to bomb the shit out of everybody.
Well, he didn't say that. He said crap.
Yeah, it was cleaner than that.
Isn't that nice? It was cleaner than that. All right, anyway, folks, welcome to our program here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Today we're going to be talking with Dr. Jim Sadler on the lottery winner. There has been a lottery winner. We don't know who it is.
Now, so they don't have a name.
They do not have a name. California Lottery says it is a winner in the $1.6 billion Powerball jackpot. By the time our podcast drops... they may already have a name, but Dr. Jim Sadler will talk with us about his experience as a psychologist in dealing with lottery winners. You know, there's a lot of people that win a lot of money, and just exactly how do they deal with that? You know,
how do they deal with... Well,
tell me, give me the money, I'll tell you how I deal with it, as I wave goodbye and I'm going off into the sunset, and that's for sure.
That's great. All right, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. We got Bob Bigham and Traffic coming up in just a moment.
Now, I saw something about the Dickman Bowl has...
Yeah, the Dickman Bowl's been
Yeah, it's been delayed, right?
No, been postponed.
Yeah, been postponed. Yeah, January 24th is the Dickman Bowl, and so if you you want to get in on that one, man, make sure you get your BSP and listen to the Dickman Bowl as it drops on Sunday, January the 24th. Bob Bacon, now with the traffic here. Bob, good morning, or good afternoon, or good day.
Well, let's go to the father. You know, I am right now. It doesn't matter what day and time of day. I've been living hell. You get that? I hope I die. Now, let's go on the 15 freeway. We go down the right side of the freeway today. You can find the same way. There's a certain individual there. I hope you don't talk to her because she is somebody I owe money to. And if you have a lady out there just looking out there, just lay that down. It's probably got to have your baby. All right, let's go to Skyboy out there on the High Pine.
Well, I'm proud to say that, Bob, and I tell you what, I'm on the 101 freeway, and I'm on the Ghost Highway, and I've been to the Ghost Highway, and it's going to Boyd, Sky Baby Sweet Dan.
All right, thanks, Sky Baby. Go to JSL on Sail Run, Channel 15. You can see the set, and I got to get out of here because I got a day.
Something like a steamer. What you mean, In my car, cruising down the street,
That guy Bacon needs to go to a doctor and to have his head just completely emptied of anything that's in there and something like cement put in there. I think it'd be a much, much better. What are you all looking at?
I don't know. I'm just waiting for you to finish.
Waiting for me to finish? What is that guy about, anyway?
Well, this is the way that he's locking out now.
Yeah. You didn't hear about it?
What do you mean I didn't hear about it?
He's locking out now by screaming as he,
What the hell are you talking? Will you turn that off? What are you talking about?
Apparently, Bacon thinks that locking out with him, pretending like he's falling out of the aircraft, is one of those, you know.
It's a signature lockout. You know what I mean by signature lockout?
A signature lockout. In other words, this is how the guy's going to end his report?
Yes. You know, Paul Harvey used to end. Paul Harvey, good day. You remember that?
Yes, I remember. I love Paul Harvey.
Well, he ended his reports with a very specific. Audio lockout, as in, I'm Paul Harvey. Good day. So Bacon believes that by
locking out, screaming as if he's falling out of an aircraft,
that everyone's going to just remember him and just be all, gee, wow. Hey, Bacon, wherever you are, stay there. I'll come get you, because I don't think you should drive. Yeah. Thank you. I'm General Kamen Shaw, and Bacon, you're a mess.
All right. We have with us, that's very good, we have with us on the phone right now our friend Dr. Jim Sadler from San Diego, California, to talk about the lottery. We could get off all of this crazy stuff that's been going on in the news, whether it's, you know, has something to do with the, I don't know, whether it has something to do with the Rams moving to L.A., or we have sailors getting abducted in Iran. There's a lot of money, Dr. Sadler. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning, Phil.
A lot of money at stake.
Right, there's a lot of money at stake, and people tend to get very probably irrational, I would say, at a time like that.
What do you counsel people? And I know you've talked to a few people that have actually won significant amounts of money.
Have you talked to anyone that has won the Powerball, Dr. Sadler?
I don't know if it was the Powerball or not, but I have talked to a lot of people who have been. Winners of significant money. I talked to a gentleman whose name was in the news, but you gave me the name of the man, Ronald Clearin. And
What is his name?
Ronald Clearin.
Yeah, Ronald Clearin. He won a California scratch and sniff.
He won a scratch and sniff.
What is this?
There's no scratching. You mean scratch off?
I'm sorry, scratch off is what it's called.
Well, I'm pretty sure it's scratch and sniff.
There's no scratch and sniff, bud. It's a scratch-off.
He does this on purpose. He knows full well there's no scratch and sniff. Hold on, bud.
Come on, watch it.
I don't like the way he does that.
Well, look, I can't sit here on the phone if you guys are going to be playing grab-ass. And
excuse me?
I said I can't sit on the phone, Margaret, if you people are going to be playing grab-ass. And
well, nobody's playing grab-ass here.
Hey, Sadler, why don't you watch your language around a lady?
All right, but I'm sitting here waiting for you people to get done.
I was dealing with an in-studio problem, thank you very much.
All right, hold on.
Phil, I simply want to come on here. There's a very important topic. And if you are going to have everybody running around playing grab it.
No one's doing that, Dr. Sadler.
All right. The gentleman I talked to, Ronald Clearman, who was a winner of one of these large sums of money. It was around $150,000. And I asked him, I said, do you feel as if you are capable of dealing with a large amount of money like that? Do you feel like you can comfortably deal with that, you know? Do you feel like it's something you can deal with? And he said to me, yes, I do. But I could tell there was a something in his manner, there was something in his speech, there was something that alerted me. And you learn this as a psychologist. You can pretty much, if you're a psychologist, on account of learning about psychology, you can, I'm not going to say read people's minds, but you can pretty much read their manner.
Really? I mean, you feel like you can?
Oh, yeah.
Well, now, that's, first of all, isn't this guy a patient of yours?
Well, he was. You're going to say technically I'm violating the doctor-client, doctor-patient confidentiality. And technically, yes, I am, but because this is a compelling public interest, see, that I can say it. So.
Well, I mean, compelling public interest is a decision that is that made by a court?
Oh, no, it's not. I mean, what, you want to sue me or something?
No, I think what we're saying, Dr. Sadler, is that compelling public interest means that it is a legal issue that probably needs to be vetted a little bit more.
Well, no, it doesn't, because I'm on the radio right now. All right, then I won't talk about it, you know.
Well, if this man, Ronald Clearman, is a patient of yours, and he was telling you some things as a doctor and as a patient, doesn't the doctor-patient confidentiality come into play?
I gave you my answer. I said no, because this has compelling public interest. But I tell you what I'll do. I can split the difference. There was a guy that came to me, and he had won $100,000. And
yeah, but nobody's going to believe you. They're going to think you make it up.
Yeah, why don't you use the guy's initials?
What do you mean, use his initials?
No, that's good. R.C. R.C. And he came to me.
Was it Ronald Clearman?
Yes. Well, fuck.
Watch your language.
I apologize. I want to know, what game are you people playing today? Because I've got an office full of patients. I've got a waiting room full of patients.
We're not playing a game here, Dr. Sadler. Just want to make sure that we're not running afoul of the doctor-patient.
Hey, I'm the doctor. I'll tell you whether we're running afoul of it, okay?
All right, fine. So this, man, let's just not use his name, all right?
All right, fine. So this gentleman came to me, and he was nervous. Actually, he didn't come to me about this. He came to me because he had some instinct that he felt he was hearing voices. He had an instinct that he wanted to do something that was very harmful, and because he was hearing voices, being directed by the voices. And
oh, is this the guy that won the lottery?
Yeah, Ronald Clearman.
Okay, you gave his name again.
I did. Let's just forget that I said that.
Well, now we've got the guy is hearing voices, and he was planning to do something destructive, and he also won the lottery.
Well, Mr. Henry, here's what I suggest, that if you and your staff there, and I say this with a great deal of respect, don't, you know, confuse me.
We're doing an awful lot of talking. Maybe we should just be quiet and let Dr. Sadler.
Well, you know, I'm a little uncomfortable here, Dr. Sadler. First of all, you're saying the guy is, you know, $100,000. He's a patient. Now he's hearing voices.
Just never mind who he is. I had a patient. Let's just pretend.
When you say let's pretend, we can't really pretend.
Yes, you can. As a psychologist, I'll give you an exercise. I want you to think about the most. Here's just the exercise. Everybody in the studio, in the audience, and everyone in the studio there. I want you to think about the most wonderful day you spent in the summertime as a child. All right? I want everyone in the studio right now, I want Phil, you, and Ms. Gray, and General Shaw, and Buzz, and Robert, and all of the people at home, the most wonderful, wonderful summer you ever thought of. Have you got that fixed in your mind?
You mean the most wonderful summer day?
Yes, all right, the most wonderful summer day.
Well, I've got the most wonderful summer.
Make it a summer, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's just the most wonderful.
Well, don't sound, you know, irritable, Dr. Sadler.
Yeah, I got it. The most wonderful summer day.
Yeah, summer day, summer, doesn't matter. All right, and now, and Ms. Gray, thank you very much, but I don't think I was...
Well, you were saying it was beginning to irritate me a little bit.
Oh, well, excuse me. You know, I got a, Phil, I've got a waiting room crammed with patients. There's 30 people out there waiting to see me. We've got all kinds of people, from schizophrenics. We have manic depressives out there. I got a couple of bipolar. There's one out here that's she's a anorexic. There's another one that's bulimic. There's another one that's both of them. There's I got a guy with a split personality. All of this is happening in my waiting room, and they're staring at me saying, "Hey, Doc, you ready?" And I'm like, "No, I'm not, because I'm talking to Henry." And
well, Dr. Sadler, you can hang up anytime you want.
I don't want to hang up. I want to get this done.
All right, I got the best summer day I ever had.
Great. Now, getting back to my patient. This is a guy at...
Well, what did you want to do with the summer day?
Nothing. I just wanted you to fix that in your mind. Now, never mind. Now, just the patient I had was hearing voices and seeing things, and he also had won the $100,000. I said, "I don't think you're in any position to do anything with that money." And he said, "Yes, I am." I said, "Aha. Okay. What you're doing is you're compensating. You feel that you are, but you're really not." I said, "What I want to do is come to..." I said, "You come to my office," because I was on the phone with him. "Pick me up. And let's drive over to the bank, because I know you want to deposit it." He said, "Yes, I do." I said, "All right." So he comes and he picks me up, and I'm observing him. And he's saying, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm observing you. And I'm observing how you do." I said, "You still feel..." I said, "Because I know you feel like you want to deposit that money, but you don't look okay to me. You look like you're going to flip your lid or something like that." And...
Well, all you're trying to do is make the guy feel...
Hold on, General. Hold on.
No, you're trying to make him feel insecure.
Wait. No, I'm not. I'm observing him. I'm observing him. All right, so he took the money to the bank, and I waited in line with him, and I watched as he filled out the deposit slip, and I said, "Are you sure you're going to deposit all that money?" He said, "Yes." He looked at me, and he looked a little surprised, almost as if I was leaning in too much and maybe breathing on him. I don't know. And I said, "You're sure?" He says, "Yeah." And he kind of pushed me away, and I said, "Okay." And I watched, and very carefully as he signed his name, and I watched as the slip went over to the teller, I watched the teller take the money, and I watched her pass the receipt to him, and I looked and I watched it go into his pocket, and then I followed him out, and we got out to the car. And I said to him, "So you know, and that's where I couldn't believe it. You know, I couldn't believe it."
Yeah, so what happened?
What do you mean, what happened? What happened was he put the money in the bank. What do you mean, what happened?
So what did you do for the guy? What did you say to him?
I said to him, "You put that money in the bank, even though I felt, as your doctor, it was better for me to have it." He said, "Yes, I did." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because even though I know it was better for you as my doctor to have the money than for me to have it, because I may spend it, you as a person bother me." And I said, "All right, let's talk about that." So we went and had a cup of coffee, and we had a piece of pie over at the Marie Callender. And as we sat and we had the pie... And
now, can I just, are you going to tell us a big, long fairy tale story here that about Hansel and Gretel? And,
no, I'm not. You know, I got a room full of...
Yes, you've got a whole waiting room full of people, schizophrenics.
I do, Miss Gray, as a matter of fact.
Well, then, do you want to go take care of them?
No, I want to explain this. I'm telling you how I, Dr. Jim Sadler, is, you know...
All right, let's take a phone call. Our number is 855-500-7445. We're on with Dr. Jim Sadler here, and he is talking to us today about the lottery and what the lottery represents to a lot of people. Yes, it's freedom, it's money, it's also responsibility, and some people are just not ready. I don't know, they're just not ready to... Not ready to have all of that money, you know, Margaret?
Well, they're not. They don't have the responsibility of spending all of that money. The responsibility of spending that money responsibly, I guess, is too much for them.
Here is John, and he's calling in from La Habra this morning. John, how are you doing?
Hello.
And John, you're on with Dr. Jim Sadler.
Hi, John. Hello. Dr. Sadler. Mine was... excuse me. My question was this. I purchased a ticket for the Powerball lottery that they just pulled a name for.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think that I was the winner. In fact, I know I was a guy who heard the tickets. I heard they called a ticket. I split the price of this ticket with a friend of mine. And my friend is going to want to see the ticket and make sure that we were not the winners, or we were the winners. And I, in anger, took the ticket. I wadded it up and didn't just throw it away. I chewed on it and swallowed it, you know. And obviously, you're not going to have him picking through. You know, that's that. You know.
Yeah. So he's not going to get it.
Right. But he's going to ask me about the numbers, and I can tell him no, we didn't have the numbers. You know, but I don't know whether he's going to believe me or not. This is an individual that has already come at me with a knife a couple of times. I met him at a bus station and he moved into my hotel room.
Are you indigent?
My what?
Are you homeless?
No, I live in a hotel downtown.
Right, but you say you met a guy at a bus station and you two guys are sharing a hotel room?
Yeah.
And he came at you with a knife already?
Yeah.
And you took the ticket and you ate it?
I ate the ticket and swallowed it.
Well, I would encourage you to simply leave the area, to get as far away. Where is this man now?
He's out. He's getting a bottle of wine right now.
He's getting a bottle of wine? I would encourage you to leave the area. Where are you right now?
I'm in my apartment. There's a hole in the floor, and it's just above a cafeteria.
I should say that again, sir?
I'm in my hotel room, but it's above a cafeteria. There's a hole in the floor.
There's a hole in the floor that's above a cafeteria.
Yeah, that's what you can hear.
All right, well, where is he?
Downstairs getting a bottle of wine.
I would leave the... If you have an individual come at you with a knife, and you say that you had the winning ticket...
No, I didn't have the winning ticket. We had the losing ticket, but I ate it.
And so you can't prove to him that it's the loser?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would get out of there if the guy...
If the guy came at you with a knife, get out of there.
All right. I can see him through the hole in the floor right now.
What's he doing?
Well, he's looking up now and going, what are you doing? I'm on the phone. So, hey, Jack, I'm not just on the phone. He's buying a bottle of wine.
He's buying a bottle of wine in a cafeteria.
Well, it's a restaurant. Sort of a, I guess you could say it's a cafeteria. It's like a fresh choice, but not...
I'd get out of the area. I'd leave. If that guy is down there and that clown is, for whatever reason... is ready to do the do with a fucky chicken too, man. I, you know.
Okay.
Thank you very much, sir. So, Dr. Sadler, that's screwy. Can you make a head or tail out of that call?
Well, I think that man is mentally ill.
Well, that's your thing, though, isn't it?
Yeah, my thing's mentally. Yeah, it's my thing. We're talking about people that have won the lottery, not a guy that didn't win, ate the ticket, and is going to be stabbed by a roommate who's an alcoholic and quite possibly, a psychotic himself. I don't do that, you know. I don't do that. I got a very high-level clientele. No.
Well, what is the answer, then, for people that are winners of large amounts of money and may be the kinds of people that would blow it in every direction or waste it?
Well, the answer, I think, is to... to be honest with you, Ms. Gray, I'm not interested. Phil brought me on. I don't care. There's a part of me that cares. There's a part of me that wishes that I was the one that won the money. And so, you see what I'm saying?
Okay, so Sadler, in other words, there's no reason to have you on the show.
No, I wouldn't say. Look, I got a room.
Yeah, I know. Why don't you go out into your waiting room and get all those nuts... and have them sit in the office, whatever, start treating them, because obviously you don't know what you're talking about.
I know what I'm talking about. I'm just not interested in talking about a guy who wins the money, what he's going to do with it. I'm only interested in what it has to do with me. I said to you that the guy that won that money, I followed him into the bank. I thought for sure he'd cut me a check.
You thought he'd give you a check for some of the winnings?
Yes. No, he didn't. And it was. We were driving back. I said, "Do you understand, Ronald?" Well, I just gave his name again. "Do you understand?" I said, "If I wanted to strangle you, I could." And he said, "Uh-huh." And he was one of those very slow people. And I said, "I could strangle you, and I could have taken that money." He said, "Uh-huh." And I said, "Now, even now, I could strangle you and take your cash card and get the number, get your ticket, your number." And then go, see, I'm starting to, just had to get a hit oxygen. I could get you a pass number and I could go and get the money. He goes, I should let me off here. I can't stand it anymore. So he let me off right in the middle of the freeway. And
what about you guys getting a piece of pie?
Well, that was it. I mean, we went out, we got a piece of pie. And I said, I got an a la mode and I got him a cup of coffee. I said, "You realize what you did?" He said, "Uh-huh." I said, "God, how I hate this," because I didn't want to keep him saying, "Uh-huh, uh-huh." So then we got in the car, and I said, you know, I could strangle you, and I could push you from the car. Uh-huh. I said, let me, I couldn't take it anymore. So I had him pull over. We were on the 101 freeway, and we were just coming into Hollywood. I said, just pull over and let me off on the freeway. And he goes, uh-huh. I said, stop the car, and I got out, and I walked down the ramp, which was the Vine Street ramp, and at the bottom is this guy, Ronald. He's parked. And he looks, he says, you know, do you want to ride? I said, no, I'm doing everything I can to get away from you. Well, I kept on walking. It was about 10:30 at night. I was walking to a payphone because even though I had a cell phone on me, I couldn't, you know, I needed a phone book. I couldn't remember the number, so I had to find a payphone with a phone book. And that's when these guys came up to me and said, have you got any money? I said, yeah, and I pulled out my wallet, and I had four greens, and they kicked my ass.
You were mugged?
Yeah. Basically.
So they assaulted you.
Well, I mean, I gave them the wallet, but I tell people I kicked they kicked my ass so I don't sound like such a pussy. But I'll never forget that night that he didn't give me any money, and I couldn't stand him going, uh-huh. So I had him let me off there on the Vine Street ramp, and then I got mugged.
Well,
did you fart or something?
No, I didn't. I went like that.
Hey, Santa, let me ask you something. Are you sure you should be a psychiatrist? Maybe you should be a patient.
Yeah, you know what? I knew you'd say that. I knew you'd sell that for me. Yes? No, tell them all to wait. I got a waiting room full of imbeciles, Phil.
Yeah, I know, okay? Go treat your patients. And then after you treat them, get yourself some help.
Get myself some help. You know, Phil, could you do this for me? Uh-huh. Because I think you'd make for a...
Dr. Jim Sadler...
Yeah, that's the biggest waste of time I ever heard.
Yeah, I don't think he was even ready for that interview.
I don't think you were ready for that interview.
Maybe I wasn't. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of in my life. The next time we try to figure out what people are going to do with their winnings, just let's pretend we did and we won't. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Coming up, Frank Gray to talk about... Frank Gray's going to be talking here about Ted Cruz and Donald Trump and a whole bunch of stuff from the L.A. Country Club, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, Frank's out golfing today.
Uh-huh. Shit.
What song is this? It's a very interesting song.
Bud?
Yeah, it's called Bless the Fall and Walk on Water.
Walk on Robert.
Man, Walk on Robert. Walk on Water.
Walk on Water, Bless the Fall. Phil Hendry Show. Frank Gray is at the L.A. Country Club right now and doing his darndest to collect some money out there, Frank. You guys playing for some serious dough? Are you playing for some serious money?
Yeah, hold on. Just a minute, young man. How you doing?
I'm good, Frank. How are you?
I'm better than Custer. Who's away?
Sure, Frank.
Here I go. Cunt. I hooked it. See that, Bernie? I hooked it right in those that tree line. Look. Hello, Phil.
Frank, how are you?
I'm better than Custer, young man.
All right, we're going to, as you're playing golf there...
Frank, you need to concentrate on the questions, you know.
I understand that, Margaret. He's always reminding... Like, I don't know I'm golfing. I love my wife, but he's always reminding me.
Well, how are you doing, Frank? It's General Shaw.
I'm real good, General.
So, Frank, Ted Cruz, today the news broke that Ted Cruz had actually taken a loan from Goldman Sachs when he said, when he was filing his financials with the Federal Election Commission, he said this was all personal money. He did not say that he had gotten over $1 million, or at least close to $1 million from Goldman Sachs.
Well, let me tell you about Ted Cruz. Okay, it's my shot. Now, this is going to... I'm going to lay this right up about 2 feet from the cup. Watch this. You bitch. You whore. Okay.
You like playing golf?
Frank, you don't sound like you're having a good time.
I'm having a great time. You know, I got a caddy here, Mertrin. I told her that if she keeps laughing, I'm going to rep with this... There's not too many clubs left that I haven't wrapped around your head, have I, Mertrin? No. So watch it. What's your question?
My question, Frank, is Ted Cruz.
Frank, you have to pay attention to the questions.
All right.
Ted Cruz, it turns out, did not report the source of about $1 million worth of money that he put into his own campaign in violation of Federal Election Commission rules.
Well, here's the thing about Ted Cruz. She's got more problems than just the Federal Election Commission. I believe, and I've told you, I think that Ted Cruz has a morality problem, She is she's a man who I'm sure thinks she's doing the very best by her family. Her wife and her kids rely, I'm sure, upon a father that they feel is doing the very best. Her husband, I'm sure, is, or her wife, I should say, is I'm sure he feels the very best about her. But Ted Cruz has a morality problem. She can't for the life of her tell the truth. I think she's a liar. I think she's lied about more than just the money. Now, she's supposed to say where she got the... Hold on for a minute. My blood. What a whore. There's something wrong with this.
Go ahead!
How much is that, Bernie?
$300.
I had just paid out $300 to this. You are a cutthroat, but, you know, she's my best friend, so...
All right, so Ted Cruz did not report the money to the Federal Election Commission. It was a loan.
It was a loan from Goldman Sachs, and she took out this loan. And her wife works at Goldman Sachs. Now, here's the thing that was real dicey about this. When Ted Cruz said to the Federal Election Commission, well, and also she said this to her supporters. She said, my wife and I took this money out from our savings, and he worked his fingers to the bone to raise our two children, our two daughters. And I looked at my daughter one day, and I said to him, honey, Daddy is going to do all that she can to help you. And my daughter said to me, I'll never forget the look in his face. He said, Daddy, I believe that you will. And then my daughter looked at my other daughter and told him, I think she's the best father that we could have. And the other daughter, he said, yes, I believe that too. So I felt a warmth that sort of curled up between my ears and went up through the top of my head. It was actually kind of scary, but I realized it was just a nice warm feeling for my daughters. But or I should say, he felt the warmth going up through his head. But I felt the warmth going... Never mind.
All right, so...
Hold on, I'm getting confused. Who's away?
You are.
Right down the middle of the fairway. Look at that. Now it's bouncing. What a piece of shit.
Yeah.
I went right into the rough.
Talking to Frank Gray, who's golfing at LA Country Club right now, about Ted Cruz. So now Ted Cruz did not report this money. You feel, and you just have this sort of instinct that there was a conversation that he had with his family.
I believe she had a conversation with her wife, and she told him, look, baby, you know I love you. You know I can't live without you, but you're going to have to go to the bank. You're going to have to go to Goldman Sachs and run some interference for us. And so the wife, that's what he did. That's what any good wife would do. He went off to the bank and he borrowed some money on behalf of his husband. And when he got home, he gave the money to her. And she, and he both, talked to their daughters. And each daughter pledged loyalty to, you know, to her father, to his father, and to his mother. And the daughters, of course...
All right, we got all of that.
Yeah, Frank, you're just getting more confused.
Yeah, you're right about that. So then Ted Cruz told the Federal Election Commission, when they said, where'd you get all that money? And she said, oh, well, this was all personal savings.
See, that is where the dishonesty comes in.
That is exactly right. It was not personal savings. It was money that she borrowed from her wife's, you know, bank. He's the one that got the loan for her. What was that, man? It sounded like a gas bomb going off.
It was Henry laughing.
What are you laughing at?
I'm not... nothing.
So that's the extent of that. Let me just hit this ball. I'm lying. I'm getting my ass kicked by you, Bernie. I'll tell you what, this guy is fantastic, but she's a cutthroat on the golf course. She's a wonderful, wonderful friend. She used to play football, and... were you ever pro? She was on the senior tour, too, and she's married to a beautiful, beautiful gal, and he's waiting in the car right now.
Uh-huh.
Here we go.
Woo!
Fuck. That hit your windshield.
Not this.
That hit her windshield. Yeah, is that your car?
Yeah.
Sorry, I just put the windshield right out of Bernie's car. God damn, man. That your old lady sitting there? She's pretty sweet.
All right, Phil. So,
all right. So, what does Ted Cruz now? Moving from Ted Cruz, let's forget about him for a second. What about Donald Trump? This past weekend, Nikki Haley had a not this past weekend, the past few nights. Nikki Haley, who is the governor of South Carolina, had some comments about Donald Trump.
Yeah, I heard his comments. I thought he was right on. He said that Donald Trump's out of control. He said that she's, you know, for a billionaire and all this money, a self-made man, though she may be. She's a racist, and she hates Mexicans. And Governor Haley is, I think, a well-spoken young woman. He's a young lady from South Carolina. He apparently has Indian, you know, Asian Indian roots. And all of that, I think, speaks very well for him, being a young female. Republican Party needs more Nikki Haley's, because he speaks very, very well for them. Now, as far as Trump goes, she is a racist, and you can't deny it. And with the hair that she wears, that goofy comb-over, I don't know how she explains that to her wife, but he must just laugh himself sick. All right, Phil, that's all I've got to say. I got to get out of here because they just took the windshield right out of Bernie's car, and she's about to lynch my ass. This is Frank Gray here from L.A. Country Club.
All right, Frank, thank you.
All right, so oh, don't worry about it.
The essential point that he was making.
Yeah,
cut it out, bud, man, you're doing it on purpose.
Yeah, stop it.
He was basically saying that Cruz, you know what, I don't think Cruz is going to have to explain anything.
I don't either. I don't think Cruz has done anything wrong. I think he's reported it already. He said that he reported it. And that's all there is to it.
Well, I don't know, and I don't care. All I know is that Frank took the windshield out of Bernie's car. That's a rather nice... It is a bit of an antique. It's an old Mercedes, but it's a very, very nice car. And that's going to cost a pretty penny.
All right, that is all that we have time for here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show today. I appreciate all of your attention to detail and your attention to everything that you paid attention to, man. Tomorrow night, we'll be in San Francisco. We'll do our show from San Francisco. We're there for the Sketchfest. And we'll be at Sketchfest at the Eureka Theater at 8 o'clock on Friday night. And then we'll be at Cobb's Comedy Club after that for a set list. So I hope you guys can join us for that. It should be a damn good time. And again, don't forget that on Saturday we'll have our BSP only show. We will not have a chat though on Friday night because of our we'll be working on Friday night at the Sketchfest. World famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by me, Phil Henry, for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on podcast one.
I'm General Cayman Shaw, and they better let those sailors go.
They already did.
Oh, okay.